Pacific Coast, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch. And here we go for another night of fun and frivolity as we take a look at the stuff that's going on. Also, if you are joining us for our video cast that we do present each and every night, and you have a mobile phone and you plan on being mobile on it tonight, you can always log off of the desktop and you can join us mobile because we are for your Apple streaming system, operating system, whatever you have. Check out our iOS streaming right now because we are available for Apple products. I know iPod and iPad, iPhone and iPad, as well as most every other mobile device at PhilHendryShow.com. This is the story that you brought me?
Yeah, I thought this was...
So, Bud brought me Atherton, California. Is this Atherton, California? Atherton, California at Heritage Court, which is a street in Atherton, California, 12:44 a.m. on Thursday. 12:44 a.m. on Thursday. It was this morning, as we are now heading into Friday. A woman whose finger got stuck in a drain was reported to be conscious and breathing. Now...
What?
That's what it says. This is in Atherton, California.
But you think she's still stuck?
That's what I was wondering, if she's still stuck and she's conscious.
If that woman is still stuck, 12:44 this morning, she had her fingers stuck in a drain, right?
Yes. Is she still... I think it's a very good question.
Well, I got to tell you, if she's still stuck with her finger in a drain almost 12 hours later, there's something wrong with the emergency services in that town.
Well, I never heard of Atherton, California. I mean, maybe I have.
Well, what does that mean? You've never heard of it?
Do they have the appropriate emergency services, is all we're saying? I mean, what's going on there, you know?
Well, I've been to Atherton. A lot of the small towns have police and fire.
Okay. I think we can pretty much figure that they've got police and fire in Atherton, California. They got a newspaper, don't they? You know.
Well, the wire service might pick that up.
Oh, that's right. The wire service picked that up. That's exactly. I'm sitting there and I'm manning the wire service for AP. Hey, look at this. A woman's got her finger stuck in a drain. I think I'll put that national.
Why not? I mean, you're seeing yourself when an outhouse got pushed over.
Yeah, a lot of things are ranking as national news now, Phil.
By the way, you guys are talking too much and interrupting, and that one lady that said there's too much cacophony and confusion.
You know what? To whoever you are, dear, you're wonderful, and thank you for listening. But do you really honestly think I care? That's my question for her.
Well, I do, ma'am, but she doesn't, so there you go.
No, seriously, I know you don't.
No, I do care, but I'm not going to change anything. All right, so...
Here's another one, Atherton.
Here's another Atherton story. El Camino Real and Shelby Lane. A pedestrian was reportedly... Wait, I got to make sure I read this right. A pedestrian was reported not to be doing anything strange other than wearing black pants and a white dress... and a white dress shirt while walking at an odd hour. A pedestrian was reported not to be doing anything strange other than wearing black pants and a white dress shirt while walking at an odd hour. Are they kidding? What is this?
It's a police blotter.
I think they got to put down everything that they see and know and the things that they do.
Well, this is our friend Jeremy Firth. What does that mean, but everything they see and know?
They've got to report. If you do a police report... And I don't know if you're familiar with her or anything.
You're not a cop.
No, but I mean, I'm familiar with, because, you know, having been in a newsroom, they got to make notice of anything unusual. If there's a guy going down a street in pants, and that's unusual for that town.
Well, what would be unusual for that? I don't understand that.
Are you saying that it's unusual to wear pants in Atherton?
No. He's saying it's unusual to wear black pants, I guess.
Yeah.
What?
What kind of ridiculous, asinine thing is that? But the cops are not going to move on something like that. If you're a cop, hey, roll on a guy walking down the street in black pants and a dress shirt because we might have a, you know.
What would it be?
Well, I mean, he may be planning to knife somebody, anybody in black pants and a white shirt, or he may be planning on just busting into somebody's dinner party and pretending he's a waiter. I don't know. Now we go here to, that was as of Friday, and this is a Monday. And again, I think this is Atherton, California. You guys in Atherton, you're beautiful.
Man, you are beautiful.
Here is Atherton, California. It says a resident worried that a noisy hawk in a tree was in some sort of distress. Whether authorities arrived, the hawk was quiet and enjoying. When authorities arrived, the hawk was quiet and enjoying dinner. See, the way they wrote that makes me think the whole thing is shtick.
Well, they're not reporting something that is unusual.
Well, here is, look, a pedestrian was reported not to be doing anything strange other than wearing black pants and a white dress shirt while walking in. Now, this is a police blotter, so this is actually off of what the cops are recording or what is being reported to them. Now, if somebody calls up and says, there's a guy walking down the street in a white dress shirt and black pants, and they go on to say, you don't see people dressed that way, that's a dress shirt, and we only have, like, workers around here, and they usually wear blue shirts, and I bet you the guy got a whole big long line of bullcrap from whoever called that in, and all he writes down is some guy's in black pants and a white shirt, and what the hell, you know.
Yeah, well, then he's not reporting the full thing.
Well, he's not going to report the whole thing because it's ridiculous. You're not going to write down what some babbling, drooling idiot is going to report, right?
Well, I don't know if the police actually think of the individuals that call them as babbling, drooling idiots all the time, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Well, not all the time. Maybe there's a guy that's saying something that makes sense. Here's one from Euclid Avenue. Once again, Atherton. By the way, the animal thing, I was awakened by the most ungodly sounding, what sounded to me like a wounded rooster. Now, this was after a real heavy thunderstorm and lightning storm in Mexico. And I'm down there in Mexico, and I'm in a hotel, and I'm on the ocean. It's just outside of Puerto Vallarta in a place called Punta Mita, and there's a lot of jungle, and there were natives in the wilderness, you know. I'm kidding. No, there wasn't.
That's almost racist, aren't they?
No, it wasn't racist, but...
I'm kidding around. Were you guys nuts? I was deep in the jungle, okay?
Yes, but you're deep in the jungle, that means there must be somebody with war paint on.
Maybe. I know if I was deep in the jungle, I'd have on, you know.
You have been deep in the jungle.
And I have been deep in the... Why don't you watch your mouth? So in any event, I was down there, and there was this really crazy thunderstorm, man. It was crazy, and it was thunder and lightning and insane. So I'm, you know, kind of waiting this thing out as we all might. And when it was over, I heard what sounded like this wounded rooster, you know.
What did it sound like?
Well, I can't. It was like this rat kind of. It sounded like it was in pain. It sounded like the poor animal was in pain. And,
got him like this?
That's that chicken alert. Is that it?
Don't play the chicken alert. No, it didn't sound like that. It was a long screeching sound. I finally got up. I said, I think there's and I was talking to my wife, and I said, I think there's a wounded animal outside that might have been hit by the lightning. I don't know. She says, because it was the middle of the night. And Maria, really sound sleeper. I got up, and I walked to the door, and I walked outside, and I heard this, meh, but as soon as I got outside, it stopped. So then I kept quiet, and then it started up again, and then I realized not only was I hearing the sound of this so-called wounded rooster next to where our room was, I heard a similar sound down about 50 yards, and then I realized I'm dealing with two separate animals here, maybe more, and this is the sound that that animal makes. And the fact that when I came out and it suddenly shot up, what's the only animal around that is in proximity to humans but stops its movement, stops its sound, and virtually freezes when a human approaches or anything that it perceives to be a, you know, a natural enemy, and it's a reptile, don't you think?
Wait a minute, did you draw that conclusion?
Run that by me again.
I'm not going to run anything by you again. I'm just saying I assumed that it was an iguana. That's what I'm trying to say.
What's that?
An iguana, one of those big lizards?
Yeah, you remember that big one that's got a big chin?
Yeah, it's the lizard with the big chin.
Yeah, it's the lizard with the big chin. That's what I thought it was, you know.
What were you talking about? The only animal that keeps quiet.
I figured, and I was only drawing a conclusion, that mammals, for instance, a mammal will... If you're approaching a mammal, it will get scared and it will run. It makes a lot of noise as it's trying to get away from you. Mammals don't ordinarily just sit there and hide, unless...
What about a squirrel? Yeah, and a rat?
Yeah, well, even rats and squirrels will split. Rats and squirrels split. They're the no guts, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they're the gutless...
Lousy, stinking, gutless rodent. Anyway, I'm just joking about rats and squirrels. If you're listening in, I'm kidding about your people. And we do appreciate you listening. Now,
Talking about a rat and squirrel?
Yeah. But I figured it was a lizard, and I thought it was an iguana. And Make a long story short, the next day I asked one of the people there, you know, one of the guys that, you know, knows everything, and I said, Senor, do you... Yes, senor. I said, do you know...
Yes, it was iguana. And sometimes they come out, and they have their gold or pink, and if you bless it, and you say the right things, money will come...
You know, a bunch of horse dung.
Well, it could be true if you talk about it like a legend.
No, it ain't true. Although I did, you know, bless it, but...
So you're knocking the native culture, and you're saying, what a bunch of superstitious peasants. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, Margaret. I'm just saying it's a... there's all kinds of stories. This cat laid something on me about how the iguana is a groovy kind of love. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lots of news to talk about here tonight. A player on the LPGA Tour was bitten by a black widow. How about that? One of the greats. That's almost the biggest story of the day. The next story, though, this is one that is very tragic. A nation, South Africa, reeling as a star runner, a Star Trek, and this is the young man who is disabled, is charged in his girlfriend's death. That's coming up as well. We'll have special guests on with us tonight to discuss all of it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Stick around. Be right back right after this.
Truth
after
is what? Our bitch.
And that's Phil Hendry that. Show. And you never can say it.
I don't give a... But you don't know a thing about iguanas, man.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Go to a phone call here at Alhambra. We have Lloyd with us. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. The very unfortunate here in Los Angeles, the very unfortunate case of this man Dorner has finally been brought to a close.
Yeah, this is, for those of you that don't know, this is this man, Dorner, who was sought by the Los Angeles Police Department. Christopher Dorner, who was sought by LAPD for murder, among other things, and they had chased him through the Angeles National Forest. They finally tracked him down, and they tracked him to a cabin in or near Big Bear Lake. And then essentially just engaged in some kind of a firefight with him. We're going to get to the story here, but you had something you wanted to say?
Well, the thing that I wanted to say, Mr. Henry, to your listeners, is that it was difficult for me today as the word was being reported to us here in Alhambra, and I was by my radio all night when the shootout took place with this man, that in my life, and I have always admired people who are tough and can stick to it and can stay with something for as long as they possibly can. But I don't admire this man for the crimes he committed. And I find myself in a very difficult position today with my wife and some of my friends, and most especially with this guy that my daughter married.
You talking about your son-in-law?
What is that, sir?
Are you talking about your son-in-law, the guy that your daughter married? When you say the guy that your daughter married, is that who you're talking about?
Yes, sir. The gentleman that my daughter married is not an individual that I have any real respect for, and I've got my reasons for that, and I'm not going to go into them right now. But I will say that he said to me, "Now, how do you feel?" And I said, I feel that it's, you know, and I cursed him and I left the room.
You feel what?
Well, how do you not admire a man for staying in a burning cabin until there's only your teeth left to identify? And yet, he is a killer, most likely. And as such, should have been prosecuted and should not be admired. But how do you not admire him? That was the quandary.
Well, you know.
And by the way, I didn't call up to get an opinion on that. I don't think anyone really can answer that question for me, because I'm a Korean War veteran, so I've seen the very worst that there is to see. I've been in a war. Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I hear you, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't get much worse than that. I was in a war, and I'm sure you can appreciate that I saw some ugly things.
Yes, sir, I certainly can.
And when a guy stands in a cabin and it is on fire and he doesn't come out, and I saw that happen to a squad of Korea, of Chinese, as the Marines opened up on them, and these Chinese, I'm telling you, stayed in that redoubt. It was a small bunker. They stayed in there all the way to the bitter end as it burnt down right to the ground. And I'm telling you, there wasn't anything left. And I remember saying, I think I said something, son of a bitch, you got to admire a bunch of haircuts, we called them in those days. I don't even mean anything racist.
You got to admire what?
We used to call them haircuts. I don't mean that, anything racist by it.
Okay.
You got to admire a whole squad of haircuts just standing there and taking it, just cooking as this thing burns down.
Well, I know you're not looking for me to give you any. I'm going to offer my opinion here.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't admire any psychopath who is so into controlling everything around him, including his own life, that he would rather die than give himself up and submit himself to the judgment of his fellows. And that's what this guy to me is.
What do you mean a psychopath?
I mean this guy doesn't care about anybody other than his own beliefs, his own view of life, his own rules, the way he thinks things should be. When you are willing to kill another human being because your view of life is not being furthered, the only other time in our lives that we see that is in wartime, when two societies, two different value systems clash. Within the framework of society, it is considered an illegal act to say, well, I think this is how it ought to be, and I'm going to kill this guy, kill this guy, kill this guy. Well, now you're under arrest because you're going against the prevailing wisdom.
Well, that's true. You're under arrest. You say this guy wouldn't allow himself to be placed under arrest. He stood there and looked out the window and said, you want to arrest me? Well, watch this. I'm going to stand here and burn. That's right.
Well, we don't know what he said.
I know we don't know what he said, but in essence, that's what he was saying. He was saying, I will stand here and I will allow myself to be slowly incinerated rather than go out there and deal with you idiots. Now, I don't say I admire that, because he was a lawbreaker. And this was where I got into real trouble with my son-in-law. I said to my son-in-law that I wish in some way I were him, because I want to be able to, I want people's admiration. You know, it's a little bit of ego that we all have.
Wait a minute. You want to...
You understand what I'm saying. I'm sure you're of a like mind.
No, I'm not of a like... No, sir, I'm not of a like mind. No.
Well, what am I saying that you don't agree with?
Everything that you're saying I don't agree with, sir. Everything.
You don't agree that was... You don't fantasize about being able to stand in a burning cabin.
No, I do not. I don't fantasize about standing in a burning cabin, having the place burned down around me, having people then say of me, what a great man, he'd rather just burn up in a cabin than give himself up. Frankly, you're the only person that I've heard say that, sir.
Well, you know, that doesn't bother me. I've always, you know, let me just say, that doesn't bother me at all, Mr. Henry. I don't give a, I could give a, you know, I could use a dirty word. I could give a sweet cheek.
Don't, you know, please watch your language.
Well, I don't care. I go my own way. I'm Lloyd Bonafide. I've been on your program before. I know you recognize me, right?
Yes, sir. I recognize your voice.
All right. So you know that I go my own way. And there was a song...
I know the song you're thinking of, Mr. Bonafide, by Meatwood?
Yes, the Meatwood combo.
Fleetwood Mac.
And what is that?
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back here as we talk about Christopher Dorner finally being brought to finally being brought to his end by law enforcement as he was tracked and hunted, something out of High Sierra. All that was missing was some, you know, woman hostage with him telling him to give himself up because she loves him. And maybe there was, I don't know. So we'll get back to this and to our caller and to you and to me and to all of us here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, in just one moment. Well, more than one moment. Like five moments. How long's a moment? A moment is a minute.
Okay.
Phil.
A moment's a minute.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show at 877-876-PHIL. Our caller from Alhambra, California. Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. We're talking about Christopher Dorner, the man who was shot and killed by law enforcement in the San Bernardino Mountains around Big Bear Lake. The cabin was burned to the ground. Whether this man was actually shot, I don't know. Lloyd, you have expressed an ambivalence about this.
Well, yes, I have, sir.
Okay, and this is based upon your admiration for any guy that can stand there and basically let a house burn down around him and he be part of it, and your also the fact that the guy is or was being sought for violating, you know, the law and committing some pretty serious crimes.
You know, and I know that you were laughing, Mr. Hendry. I don't, you know, it's all right. You can get your, if you want to get your jollies.
Well, I'm not getting my jollies, sir.
Well, I heard you and some of the people that you work with laughing and, you know, why? How could you admire a guy? Here's what I'm saying, because I said to you, in Korea, I witnessed the Marines as they attacked a redoubt that was manned by a Chinese squad, and it set fire to, and these Chinese, I'm telling you right now, and I, because I was there, and I saw them almost smiling as the whole thing went up in flames, and the last thing I saw before the two areas were ammo, two dumps inside this redoubt, and I swear I saw looking out the window a Chinese guy smiling, and then I saw his hand move as if he was detonating something, and the last thing I remember is this smile of this Chinese soldier suddenly just separating and the whole thing exploding.
That's a horrible...
No, it was not horrible. It was this Chinese soldier was smiling as if to say, ha-ha, you know, ha-ha on you.
Ha-ha on you. So in other words, he's looking out the window.
Yeah, he's looking out and he's almost like saying, so you think you're... Well, watch this. Boom. Now, I don't know whether the L.A., whether the San Bernardino LAPD or...
Well, it's not the LAPD, but this would be sheriffs.
It was what?
This would be sheriffs. Not LAPD's not involved.
What was the LAPD then?
The LA Police Department?
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're saying the LA Sheriff?
No, this would be San Bernardino. It was up at Big Bear Lake. It was a different county. And the day's light was fading when SWAT officers decided they could wait no longer for Christopher Dorner to surrender. Dorner, the fired L.A. cop suspected of killing four people in a campaign of revenge, had been holed up in a cabin near Big Bear Lake for hours, trading gunfire with San Bernardino County Sheriff deputies. Repeated calls over a loudspeaker for him to surrender were ignored. Waiting to end the standoff, wanting to end the standoff before nightfall, members of the sheriff's SWAT unit enacted a plan they devised for final assault on the cabin, according to law enforcement.
The final assault on the cabin, you know, they always wind up burning these things down. And this is a thing, I don't know who's calling the shots, who these, you know, I swear, Phil, who are these individuals that are calling the shots? I've got the file, and they wind up burning it to the ground. You know, I can tell you, I thank God none of them are contractors doing work on your home, you know?
All right, hold on here. Jay Santos, who is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, was on with us last night. We're going to get Jay on the line here because he is an individual with some, at least an opinion, and an informed opinion to a point on these matters. Jay joins us from the South Bay this evening. Get Jay Santos, will you, bud?
Yeah. Miss Santos, yeah. Bud Dickman?
One other thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
The San Bernardino County Sheriff, were they the ones that were involved in the Mad Dog Cole situation? I don't know if it was the Mad Dog Cole situation.
Mad Dog Cole. That was a movie.
It was it was High Sierra, but it was they made a movie about it, didn't they?
No, that was a movie. Jay, are you there?
I'm right here. What was the upshot of Mad Dog Cole?
I don't know. It was a movie. I don't think that happened. Jay, do you know anything about that?
I can tell the gentleman right now that was a movie, yeah. I'm sorry? I can tell the gentleman. Are you the gentleman I talked to? I don't understand. I'm sorry, sir.
This is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Santos of the, what is it? I'm Jay Santos, sir, of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah, all right, because I'm having a difficult time understanding you, sir.
All right, he's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What do you know, Jay?
Right there, Mr. Henry, you spoke a little quickly.
I apologize. Jay Santos,
go ahead.
Of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
And what is that? Well, sir, the citizens, if I may, Phil.
Go ahead.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir. I don't understand what you're saying. Are you the man from the Citizens Auxiliary Police? Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead,
Phil.
It's a volunteer group of people that, they're not official police.
They're not official police. Well, I could have gathered that because I couldn't understand anything the man was saying. And if you hired a police officer to patrol a neighborhood and he had the mealy mouth. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not calling you the old mealy mouth, you know. What did you say? I don't understand him.
All right, just let me handle this if you don't mind, Lloyd. So I want to ask you, Jay, what did you think of the technique here, San Bernardino and Mr. Dorner?
Well, Phil, I did follow this very, very carefully, and I've got a few issues that I want to take with the San Bernardino County Sheriff. I think they could have mounted a special operation to get inside a cabin and to then, smuggle it out without, you know, him. You know, obviously, he's not going to want to go, see?
What do you mean, sir, smuggle it out?
I'm talking about the gentleman, Mr. Dorner.
You're not going to smuggle him out. Are you crazy? He's going to kill you. He's going to blow your head clean off of what passes for shoulders. And nothing against you, but a lot of these guys don't work out.
All right, hold on for a minute. I have to agree with Lloyd. What kind of an operation?
What you do, Phil, and I've done this before, is you go to the front door. Obviously, he knows there's police officers everywhere. You go to the front door. You are not dressed as a police officer. You're dressed as an individual citizen, a reporter, let's say, someone that he would expect to see. Now, let's say you're a reporter. Or you may come to the front door as the relative of one of the people that you shot. Like I say, Mr. Dorner, if you don't mind, I'm the father of the girl you killed, or, you know. And
you don't seem, that's not a very organized plan.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Let's say you go to the door as like, you're selling coupons or something. You're going door to door collecting or something. I don't know.
How are you going to go door to door? This guy knows there's cops. You're not going to go door to door. The cops aren't going to let anybody go door to door.
Well, I'm just saying, somebody's not expect. Yeah, it could be anything, but reading a meter or something.
If you heard what Mr. Henry just said, if the guy sees someone who wants to read the meter, he'll kill that man immediately, figuring he's a cop. And you've just killed someone employed by the gas company.
Well, you're not going to use a real gas company guy.
It's there, see, right there. It shows that whether you know what he is or you talk about.
I can't understand anything that this guy's saying.
You can't understand anything I'm saying when you disagree with it, or when I disagree with it.
When you disagree with it? Well, assume you agree with the things you're saying. I could be wrong.
All right, hold on for just a second. Where are we going? So, Jay, you...
Well, I just want to say, you get inside the house somehow, and then you smuggle him out. What do you mean, smuggle him out? That I'd like to see. You're gonna put hands on this guy? He looks like he's about... He looks like a formidable guy.
Well, you'd have to incapacitate him.
You would want to incapacitate him, but you'd have to use tranquilizing darts. Tranquilizing darts? Boy, Mr. Henry, I got to tell you, I get a kick out of your show every night when you bring on some of these stumbling, bumbling... Sir, excuse me, I'm not calling you name. What is wrong with a tranquilizing dart?
What do you mean a tranquilizing dart?
I'm saying you aim a tranquilizing dart through the window and hit him with it. You do it with a bear. Now, this guy's not a bear. He's a human man.
You know, I got to tell you something. If you guys will just allow me, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, see? I told you. What are you guys talking about? You've been reading too many comic books, I'll tell you that.
Wait a minute. If you can tranquilize an animal, why can't you tranquilize a human being the same way with a projectile from a rifle that, you know, hits the guy? I mean, why kill him, you know?
Well, I'll tell you something right now. You know, as Slim Pickens once said, I've been to two World's Fairs and a 4th of July picnic, and I've never heard such horse dung come spewing out of a man's mouth. In fact, I've actually seen horse dung come out of a man's rear end. And how's that possible? How's that possible?
Well, forget about that, okay? What is wrong with this idea? What's wrong with this? What is wrong with a tranquilizing dart that is going to...
First of all, Mr. Henry, you know, if you can hit the guy at all, you're going to kill him. Because you've got people... Why would you tranquilize him?
I don't know, so you could bring him, you know, arrest him, bring him in, make him stand trial. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's a great idea, and I come up with it, so, you know. Well, that's great. You can have it, friend.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Bonafide, for being with us.
Well, why are you hanging up on me when this jackpot...
And hang out with us here for just a second, Jay. We also have Don Mixa from the University of Washington to weigh in on this most important piece of news. Christopher Dorner, this fugitive... from law enforcement, fugitive from justice from the Los Angeles area, making his way out to San Bernardino and essentially killed in a firefight that resulted in the cabin that he was hiding in going up in flames. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Joining us now is Dave Oliva. Dave is a aspiring police officer at L.A. Canyon College. He's taking law enforcement. And, Dave, we welcome you to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. Thank you for including me in this roundtable, including me like in a panel, roundtable.
Okay, and this is Jay. You know Jay Santos?
No, sir. I've heard you on the radio, though.
How you doing?
I'm doing real good.
And you want to go into LAPD? Is that my understanding?
Yes, sir, I do.
You really want to do that? I mean, you could do a lot more good at Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, I do appreciate that very much, sir, but I do want to be part of LAPD. I want to be part of...
I can tell you right now, you know, the politics involved in being a police is... You just don't have no freedom. You know, you want to have freedom of movement and freedom to be able to save lives and not cook a guy. You know, they cooked this guy here. The Citizens Auxiliary Police, we would have gone in, probably smuggled him.
I mean, with all due respect, sir, you know, I don't want to be a part of... I'd rather be LAPD because, I did see the pith helmet you wear, and I think I'd look bad, you know. I think that looks bad, you know.
Well, what are you saying it looks bad on me or look bad on you?
Well, I mean, it does. I mean, if you... You're asking me. It looks bad on you, you know.
All right. We don't need to talk about this right now. I want to get some perspective and opinions. Now, Jay, we've heard from you. Dave, what do you think of the police tactics there in San Bernardino?
Well, I mean, for me, Mr. Henry, I think the San Bernardino sheriff did exactly what is required of a police officer in that situation. You know, you go and you say to the suspect, if he is not, obeying your direction, you have to say, this is the San Bernardino, and there's a way of doing it. And if you are not familiar with it, you go on a foghorn. And
not a foghorn. It's called a loudspeaker or something.
It's a bullhorn, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bullhorn. You go on the bullhorn and you say, "You in the house? You in the house?" I mean, I'm just giving you what we would be taught in the LAPD police academy.
First of all, can I just still jump in?
Go ahead.
Anything you're going to be taught at the LAPD Police Academy is going to be totally laden with politics. You understand that?
Well, Mr. Santos, I don't know how to respond to you. You know, I take LAPD training to be the best that there is,
Let's listen to Dave. Dave, so go ahead. When you have a suspect hold up in a house and you have that bullhorn, what are you saying to him? So that you've got a half of a chance of getting him out of there.
Well, we're taught, that the best thing to do is to direct him with the forcefulness of your voice and with your command posture. And what that is two things. You have to stand with your feet shoulder width apart. You place your hands on your hips. And you put your chest out and you just present to him a formidable person, okay?
Formidable?
Yes, sir.
Formidable presence, formidable person.
Yeah, formidable presence. And you stand with your hands on your hips. You then have another officer put the
The bullhorn.
Put the bullhorn to your lips.
You gotta be careful. What do they tell you in LAPD when you say they put what to your lips?
No, sir, they're very careful, sir. God.
Mr. Santos, that's a stupid thing to say.
No, sir, I'm just telling you in terms of sexual harassment at LAPD Academy, if you're directing a cadet to put a bullhorn to another cadet's lips, you better be real clear that's what you're talking about. Otherwise, you're gonna be right up to your ears in a sexual harassment lawsuit when that female cadet says, "And what did you just tell me to put to my lips?" And you're in a world of hurt, my friend.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but we're told to be, to be specific and to say to the cadet or, to another officer, you have your hands on your hips and your legs are spread and you go, and I mean, you're standing up, your legs are not spread laying down or anything like that. And
okay, we're getting sidetracked here. You're standing up, your legs are spread, your hands are on your hips, and then what?
Well, and then you say to another officer, put the bullhorn to my lips. And it should be a male officer so that it's clear. But if it's a female, like Mr. Sandy. Is that Sandusky, right?
What?
That's your name?
Santos is his name.
What did you call me Sandusky? Oh, man.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
My name is Santos, not Sandusky.
Okay. So you say to the officer, please stick it on my mouth, not stick it on my mouth, but put it on my lips. And
put what on your lips? The bullhorn.
Bullhorn. Then you have the officer turn it on, because you, at no time should your hands leave your hips, or at no time should your legs not be anything other than spread. If you're standing up, if you're laying down, do not spread. I guess that's kind of stupid, but,
Wait, you're laying down, don't spread. You're going to be at a scene where there's going to be trying to capture a hostage. You're not going to have no time to whip one off, And what's that about? And
let's just forget about that, okay? So now you're speaking through the bullhorn, and you say what?
So now you're speaking through the bullhorn, and you say to the suspect inside, you say, "Suspect, this is the Los Angeles official police, this is the official LAPD Police Department of the LAPD. My name, my name is Dave Oliver. I'd say, and I hope, someday I would be a captain. So my name is Captain Oliver,
You don't know if you're going to be a captain, though.
Well, I'm just kind of, doing that because that's what I would hope that I would be,
Okay, so you're Captain Oliver.
Yes, sir. And my name is Captain Oliver. You inside the house, you got, I'll give you, you know, whatever, like 2 seconds to come out, and then I'm going to open fire, and may God have mercy on your soul.
2 seconds? 2 seconds?
You know, Mr. Aaron, you got to understand, you know, you're dealing with a dangerous man. You got to establish who's in charge.
That's exactly right. You have to let him know who's in charge. Hey, man, I'm giving you 2 seconds. How do you feel about that, huh? How do you like me now, you know?
Okay, and what do you do when he responds by opening fire and just pelting you guys with bullets?
Hey, you know what? We got guns too, man. We got guns too.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other thing. I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police. We don't use weapons, except that we're going to smuggle them out.
Yeah, you keep going to the smuggle thing, man. You know, we're way past smuggling now.
Yeah, we're not even talking. Smuggling him out is not even an option.
Well, it's not an option now because you guys blew it. You blew it. You know?
Man, we're not going to do no smuggle. So anyway,
excuse me. Who are you to tell? I'm a Brigadier Admiral. I mean, I realize.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Dave's not a captain. You're a Brigadier Admiral. It doesn't make any difference. Thank you. I think the Los Angeles Police Department, San Bernardino County SWAT did exactly what they needed to do, which was say, come on out. Oh, you're not coming out? Well, I guess your cabin gets burned down. And that's what happened. World famous Phil Henry Show, coming back with more sundry and increasingly crazy news here on this Thursday night on The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Okay, suspect, come on out with your hand, with at least one hand up.